So let's pray. Holy Spirit, I just pray you continue to be with us like you've been in worship. And all the distractions in our lives and minds will just go away for a little bit. We dedicated this time to be here, and you've met with us during worship, and I pray you've done miracles in people's lives. Lord, I pray you do the very same thing in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. For Pete's sake, season one, episode four, titled Get God's Attitude. Say, get God's attitude. Now, we all have attitudes. Yeah, all have attitudes. And almost every time I say that, you all go, yep, negative, right there. Right. Yeah, there's some negative attitudes out there, right? We have positive attitudes too, don't we, though? Positive and negative are both in us. Ever been positive 1 minute and then negative the next? You feel like, wow, what's happening to me, you know? Yeah, this morning was it's tough. I had a tough morning too, sugar. We have positive and negative all around us too. Not only do we have attitudes, I don't know if you've noticed that other people have attitudes. Have you noticed that before? I've noticed it, you know. I've seen it a time or two. So here's my question. As we become Christ-like, shouldn't we adopt the same attitude, right, as best we can of our Father, the one who arts in heaven, you know, arts and crafts, he's up there, you know, he's the one we should emulate, our Father, right? So here's our question, do you act and think like your Father? Amy Rinchak, some of you don't know her. This is one of her phrases. And so if a child was misbehaving, she would grab one of her kids and go, "Who's your daddy? You behaving the father? Who's your daddy right now? I think you're serving the devil right now. Who's your daddy?" Sometimes you got to ask yourself, "Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?" You know. For Pete's sake, say God has an attitude. Yeah. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 3, in the New Living Translation. So then, slip in the attitude for Pete's sake. Here we go. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must, look at your neighbor, say you must. Look at the other one, say you must. You must arm yourself with the same attitude he had. You must arm yourself with the same attitude he had. You got to arm yourself with his same attitude. I arm myself with attitude all the time, but it's not his sometimes. I could be armed with attitude in a second. Go ahead, make my day. Right? Attitude can come out of nowhere, shockingly. I guess I'm not alone by the uncomfortable chuckles. You must arm yourself with the same attitude, which is what? And be ready to suffer too. How's your attitude with that statement? That's for the church. He's talking to the church. This attitude is not clearly talked about and taught or emphasized, maybe at least in the American church, as often as it should be. Right? Not too much. You know, there's a story that I love about the place in Vitiya, American Samoa, that I hope to build an intern base at. It's one of my goals. I'm hoping this year that we start doing stuff, right? I've been long overdue. I'm like, Lord, come on. But one of those stories that hit me there, I felt like transported in time for a second. I felt grip my soul and pull me there, was this next story. Apostle John Lasialangi, he said to me, "See that harbor?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "At one point in time, it was filled with boats and of missionaries that packed all their clothes and all their belongings, what they could fit into a casket, because they knew they weren't coming back. And they were being sent out to Papua New Guinea where the cannibals still were." I think the church has come far from that. I think we have. You must arm yourself with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. I know God's good and blessings, and he's done miracles like this morning. You know, tell me one thing you can't do, okay? Can't bring someone dies. Don't bring them back from dead. He's done it twice. Well, what else you got? Well, what about the sun? He caused it to stand still for a whole day. Check that out. What about the ocean? He parted it. What else do you got? It says at one point, they take the whole universe and roll it up like a scroll. Tell me one thing you can't do. But one thing he asks of us is to have the same attitude and prepare our hearts to go through hard things for him sometimes. And oh, it's 1 Peter for Pete's sake. For you have suffered physically for Christ, for if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin, huh? If you have suffered physically for Christ, you finished with sin. What's he saying there? If you were put to pain for Christ and you didn't turn, it proves whose side you're on. If you live with that kind of attitude, you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires. I think that's the next verse, maybe not. You won't spend the rest of your life chasing your own desires if you've already suffered. Someone tried to crack you, turn you, pain. Torture, it's happened over the centuries. It's happening right now in the world. Don't let it kid yourself. There are countries right now that believers just like us are suffering. So do we have that same attitude? It says you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You'll be anxious to do ever been anxious? I'm anxious to do the will of God. Yeah, you know, sometimes I'm anxious. I like sometimes I'm like, what time is it? I got to get there. Let's have worship. Let's keep worship longer. Let's have worship all day. I get anxious. But it says that be finished with sin. Why? Because it no longer is the motivating factor in our lives. Remember when it was the motivating factor? Everything that felt good, that you wanted, that you pursued, everything was about you. And then you met Jesus, and it was about you dying and finding him. Remember that? He's reminding the church. You're done with that lifestyle, right? Why? Because someone who's willing to suffer for him has already made a proven deep commitment. Remember the word hupotasso? They've already submitted to his will, right? They've chosen his will over their own fleshly desires. And when you come to Christ, that's something we need to know. Well, I just put Jesus in my bag. I love hippies. I grew up with hippies. I'm partial hippie. But they used to have this bag, right? I had to hang around and all these little mementos. What's this? Well, I got this in Coachella. Where'd you get this? Well, this is where I went to, you know. And I did. And what else? Yeah, I got a cross because Jesus is in my bag too. No, Jesus isn't in your bag. He's the whole thing, bro. You can't just put Jesus in your bag or you didn't get it. You got to zip yourself up in a body bag. Then you get it. Yeah, you're done. You're done, right? How about this next statement? You have had enough. Anybody had enough? Say, for Pete's sakes, I had enough. Now, see, their attitude right there. Some of you need to see ethos. I was like, I had enough. Okay. Get her a cookie. She has had enough this morning. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy. Born again disciples, you got sick of the evil stuff you were doing that separated you from God, and that's why you got on your face and gave him your life because you were sick of it. You had had enough, and you couldn't do it anymore yourself, and you tried and you tried. I got enough. He's finally, you had enough? Yeah, come here, baby. I'll take it all. We had enough, right? Sometimes we got to ask ourselves again, are you really sick of it? Are you sick of it? Says, of their immorality. Yeah, this is a word you don't slow roll, Joe. Immorality is this, living from self-based animalistic behaviors. So the New Testament lists out sins of immorality. Isn't that great news? Like, if you're like, what are they? You can find them. It's awesome. You can also go to the Old Testament and read a bunch Leviticus. I'm going to encourage you to do your own study on God's attitude towards immorality. You have the Old Testament and the New Testament. You guys have it available to you. You don't have to smuggle it in at the risk of death. The word's available even on your phone. So study that out a little bit. All right? It says their immorality and lust. Lust is craving for what's forbidden. And we Americans and we humans love what's forbidden. Put a box, a fancy box, all dressed up in a room full of four-year-olds and say, don't touch this, and let them watch it every day. Oh my goodness. Temptation more than they can bear. Right? We don't like stuff that's forbidden. Don't touch that. I won't. That's all they can think about. That pretty present in my room was my birthday. You know? No. With their lust and their feasting. Feasting, overindulgences. Overindulgences. Nothing wrong with a feast. But overindulging? Because next, his next word is and drunkenness. Drinking's not a sin, but drunkenness is. If you need help in that area, get it. Man, I got some brothers in here I'm so proud of. They're like, I go to meetings, and God set me free, and I don't have that problem anymore. I'm like, yeah! I get stoked about, like, ah, yeah! You know? I feel like an old WWE wrestler. Can you smell what the Rock is cooking? I'm just excited, you know? I'm loving that. But if that's not you and you haven't got victory, I'd encourage you to go get to a meeting. Why? Because you don't want to keep stumbling down into sin. You don't need to be there. You don't meet. That's a choice, right? And wild parties. Say attitude matters. The attitude, here's the attitude, wild parties. You ready? Anything goes. Ever heard this Christianity? Anything goes. Everything's okay because God loves me. That attitude's not true. You won't find that. You'll find that he loves you, but the other stuff you won't find is true. Well, he's so loving, I can just do whatever I want. No, I wish that were the case. Trust me, I was the king of whatever I want. King of it. Actually, Google calls me Sultan. Ask my wife. Whenever she answers me, and I say, thank you, Google. She goes, oh, you're welcome, old gray Sultan. I say, Google gets to stick around with me more often, you know. Say, God has ways. Say, God has expectations. And check this next one out. You're going to feel like a sign of relief right here. And their terrible worship of idols. Now, crazy thing is, he's talking to the church. See, for a second, we got lost. Like, oh, he's talking to them out there in the parking lot. Boy, them, you know. And their terrible idols. And I can hear it. Pastor, obviously, that's not me. So we can move on. I feel really good about that one. I'm about to step on it. But wait, not so fast. How about this? Anything that has priority over God or over his ways is a Lord in our lives. Anything that has priority over God and his ways is a Lord in our lives. So the question to us in the midst of this is, what gets your highest priority? Does your time can be an idol. How about your headspace? I'm just in my head all the time, and you know, I can't help it. Trust me, no one has trouble like that but me. How about, what do you daydream about? Oh, it's always about Scripture and the Lord. Okay. What gets most of your attention in the course of your life? What do you think about most? What are you driven towards? What are you centering and hoping your life around? If it's not God, guess what? It's an idol. Dang it. Say, I'm the church, and that stings a little. A wee bit. Just a little, you know. Next scripture. Okay. 1 Peter 4-6. Of course, say for Pete's sake. Of course, your former friends. Anyone ever lost a bunch of friends because of Jesus? Let me see your hands because I'm not alone. I don't want to be alone. Thank you. Anyone ever accidentally chased them all away because of the way you serve the gospel? That's all. Most of us did the same thing. A little bit Jasmine. The rest of us are in trouble. But it's happened, right? I've lost some friends because of the gospel, and I've chased them away because of the way I presented the gospel. Former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. Do not be the church standing for God's ways just most of the time, just not around your friends. Don't be the person who praises God and serves God as long as your friends aren't around. I know I've got a cold emoji right here. I'll try to warm it up. God's mature children must grow and change. A lack of a sign that something's not maturing is they're not growing, right? If you see someone who's my age and crawling around the floor playing blocks and learning my words, you'd say, well, something happened to him. Why? The kids are playing blocks, but he's 55. There's nothing wrong with blocks, by the way. But you changing to be like him is called to impact the world. So there, you have to change. The world can't be changed. That's the straight up fact to the church. If we don't change, the world cannot change. Can't. So former friends, they slander you. Anybody? Yeah, that's fun, isn't it? That's one reason I don't like Facebook. Former friends, they slander you, but remember that they will have to face God. God who stands ready to judge everyone. See, he judges everyone. Both the living and the dead. That is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. I would love to take time to chew through this, but I can't. That's some Old Testament root stuff. I would love to get into all that, but we got to move into the purpose of today. So although they were destined to die, like all people, they now, say now, now they live forever with God in spirit. That's the preferred, right? The preferred after-death experience is forever with God in spirit. Like, if you have a choice, you know, you're at the pearly gates if they exist, and, you know, whoever's there, I doubt it's Peter. I was taught in Catholic school, it's definitely Peter. So if you go in, it says, check the box. Do you want to live with him forever or no? I would check the box. It says forever. Yes, that would be the box. That's the preferred statement, right? I'm grateful for that. I'm thankful to Jesus for that opportunity. Faftai, bulavanaka, gracias, grazie, ahi, shishi, teshkuler, shukran, spasiba. I learn thank you in many languages because I want to be able to tell God that. When I meet with people from other countries, I want to know what their language is. I want to teach them how to say thank you. I want to say thank you. Say thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for that. 1 Peter 4:7. The end of the world is coming soon. I honestly thought about dropping the mic and just walking out. Be like, what? Are you kidding me? I was going to read it slow 3 times just to freak you out. But the truth is, nobody knows. Because he's alone as the master of time. Soon means this. Either way, soon is always just a matter of time for us humans, right? Our personal contract, our max deal is 120. So the word says, your max deal is 120 now after the flood. So that's your max contract. That's it. That's what you get. And some of us aren't going to get that. So it's coming soon, either way. Therefore, say for Pete's sake, so since that's true, therefore, for Pete's sake, be earnest. Not the comedian. I already heard that from you, Wilson Croft. Not Ernest the comedian. Be diligent, earnest means, and focused in heart and in deed. And disciplined in your prayers. So the bride, the church, how's our prayer time these days? Is it praying over the groom's desires or maybe our own? Nobody? Seriously, how's our prayer life? Is it earnest? Is it focused on him or on me? He's talking to the church for Pete's sake. And there's a reason that it gets a little rougher. And trust me, next week you're going to love it because I'm going to get on to pastor. And I didn't choose that because that's what chapter 5 is all about. Good leadership. Equal opportunity chewing. Your disciplined prayers. It's time to amp up our prayer life. Anybody? Yeah, it's time. We got to amp it up. Yeah. 1 Peter 4:8 in the New Living Translation. Most important of all. Say this. Is soups importante. Soups importante. Super important. Because it says most important of all. I didn't write it. It says that in the Amplified, the New Living, the King James, the New King James, the NIV. Yeah, throw out your translation at me. It's in there. Read it. It's in there. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. Most important of all, continue to show, not just have, show. Continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. God's love through Jesus' blood and forgiveness is able to cover any and all of it. There's not a sin that you walked in here with that you had before, that's troubling you, that you're addicted to, that you're tied to, that's driving you, that he can't cover it. There's not one. Not one. Jesus covered mine. Mine were way different than Dr. Heidi's, I guarantee. When she says list off her sins, I go, well, that don't sound bad to me. You talked your mom once. Okay. But to her, that was sin. There's not a size to sin. It's just sin. And you know who else's sin was covered? Hers. His. Hers. His. Hers. Anybody else have their sin covered? This is the church, and if you haven't had your sin covered, he wants to get rid of it. He wants east to west it, man. He wants to cleanse you, set you right, get you on path. He wants you to live your best life now for him. Yeah. Come join the resistance. Come join the resistance. Come join the resistance. Right? I recommend you get coverage. I recommend you get some coverage. I'm just saying. 1 Peter 4, 9 through 10. It's 11:11. How wonderful. I know. That means take a pause. Oh, it went to 12. Okay, Lord, I get it. No. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. This is a gifting. And in our lives, Dr. Heidi, at various times, we've done it a lot. I wouldn't recommend this, but the Lord put it there right after we got married. We had a guy live with us for about a year in a very tiny house. Like, you could stand in the house and do this and see all the rooms. It's very small. We've had people stay in our house that were dealing with devastation. And they're one of the best pastors on the planet right now. Yeah. Various short-term people have come through our lives. The point is, be available for God's use. But here's the flip. This is where sometimes I got to put the flip in the church too. You ready? I just have to because I'm a troublemaker. The flip is true. Don't be an abuser of another person's generosity. Don't be an abuser of another person's generosity. Well, either emotionally or their acts of kindness. Well, I'll just ask Jasmine because she'll do it. I tell Nick to go tell her no, and she can blame it on Pastor. So she's like, Pastor said I can't. Yeah, he's mean. Yeah, Pastor. Why? Because I had to protect her because she could be taken advantage of. If you don't know, she's super generous and super kind. Right? God has given each of you a gift. God has given each of you a gift. A gift of his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well. Not just use them. Use them well. Use them well to what? Make a ministry for myself? Nah. That's a gift. God gave me a gift. Therefore, I must make a ministry for myself. Use your gift to become famous. I'm so good at this. How about use your gift to make bank? No. Use them well to serve one another. Why do we use them well? To serve another. Wow. 1 Peter 4:11. Do you have the gift of speaking? Now notice this. It did not say, do you like to talk? Do you have the gift of speaking? It's different. Do you like to talk? It is also different. Amber, I'm so glad you're here because I probably crossed legal boundaries. It does not say that, do you know stuff and want to tell people and say it all the time? That's not always the gift of speaking. I've seen that around. No, it used to be a church I went to a long time ago. Whenever the open mic was, I knew homeboy was going to get up and speak. Everyone knew it, like, oh, bro, and he's going to ramble on, you know, and you go, dude, you don't have the gift to speak. You just want to get up on front and speak. He's not talking about that. That's not what he's speaking here. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. If you can't stop there and see, that's a heavy responsibility. That's not to be messed with, joked with, or played with. Why? Why? If you just look up what God says about blasphemy, saying stuff falsely and putting it on him, that's flirting with you being God, and that's blasphemous. If God didn't say it, but you said he did, you better get some coverage. You better get some coverage. Seriously. So it's serious. That's why, you know, oh, did I get there? I may get there. Mm-hmm. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it. Look at your neighbor and say, do it. Hey, I talk a good game about helping people. Just go do it. Well, can I get some recognition on the Facebook? No. Just go do it. Well, can I be the volunteer spotlight? No. Just go do it. Just do it. That's all. Just go do it. Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. If it's a service to someone that he calls you to do, he'll supply. If he's called you to do it, he'll supply. It's a promise. So if you find yourself in constant not supply and you're frustrated in the ministry, the God thing has worked out, you better step back and go, Lord, is this a trial? Or am I not where I'm supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Because I'm not seeing the supply. And you say, supply my needs to do what you've asked me to do. It's just one of those things. When supply dries up, you should ask a question. What's going on? Do it with the strength and energy that God supplies. Then, for Pete's sake, everything you do will be bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Say amen. Amen. That's a Samoan. Amen. Now, you recall episode 2, right? You guys probably verbatim know what episode 2 is about. Yeah. So there's probably no need to bring it up to talk about it, but I'm going to talk a little bit about it because it's important for where I'm going. So let's roll back the bean footage. 1 Peter 2. We're in 4. 1 Peter 2, 13 through 14. Submit yourselves to the authority of every human institution. What? Where you work, you have a boss. Work for the boss. He's your boss. He's mean. I didn't ask you that. It's your job, not mine. Get a different job. But if you're there, work for him. How about this? How about the authority of your home? That was chapter 3. I won't do that. How about at church? How about on your baseball team? Ever have that guy that knows everything and ruins the team? Trade him. Trade him to the Suns. That's how it used to be, getting troublemakers up in the valley. That's tough, right? It's tough. It says, for the sake of the Lord, to honor his name, whether it is to the king, as the one of the position of power, or to governors sent by him to bring punishment to those who do wrong, and to praise and encourage those who do right. If you give an example of submission in church service settings, I want to do that. How hupotasso works in shepherding. Sometimes I've been in a lot of services, and I believe in the gifts of ministry of the Holy Spirit. I believe healing. I believe sometimes people get the gift of tongues. I believe in prophecy. I believe in all of it, and I've got the opportunity to sometimes walk in those things. But how a new season works is if you had a word from God, sometimes you just shout it out. Well, Ed, I just feel God wants you to move to Brazil. You know who's got to fix that? Me. Just because you had Cheetos that day and Ed was in Brazil. Oh, it's Brazil. You have to understand that there's a way and an order of things. And so I have people come to me, even my own kids, and say, Dad, I'm feeling this from Jesus. And how many times have I said, get right up there? And then how many times I said, hold on, won't you give that to the person after service? That'd be a little private. I think you should pull them over and make sure you grab one of your brothers or sisters and take them with you so there's three. And then sometimes they'll say, no, that's not for now, but thank you. Hold that and let's wait. Why do I do that? Because false words and flaky opinions cause mistakes. And it's my responsibility. His gifts are used for God's glory. And I've had this said of me over the course of the past almost 19 years. I've had this exact same thing. They sound so different, but here they are. It says, Pastor Sean, you run too tight a ship. You got to let the Holy Spirit just flow. I do. We've had signs, wonders. It's been great. God's done stuff. Well, you just run too tight a ship. I need to have my freedom. I need to shout out what I need. God puts it on me. Then I've had people say, Pastor Sean, you run too loose a ship. Those girls got no shoes on during worship. They're barefoot and praising. So that's how we like them. Barefoot and praising. Right? The bottom line is humility, right? Either way, for now, he asked me to captain the ship. And I'll try to do it with the most humble heart I can. And trust me, I got a crew around people who will tell me when I'm not. I'm here to do the job he asked me to do. So the advice to us, sometimes to us when we get in a different mindset, is until he gives you the responsibility over his vessels, don't try to manage another person's responsibility. I ain't gonna come in your house and tell you how to do things. But as Americans, that rubs us wrong. Why? Because we won't ever get to God unless we humble ourselves. And then he puts practice in front of us. And he calls them boss, mom, dad, pastor, grumpy neighbor, I don't know. Our best thing that we can do is just get our own church self in order. We can't get anybody else in order anyways. Right? Can't do it. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. Dear friends, don't be surprised, for Pete's sake, at the fiery trials. Who hates fiery trials? I dislike them with a passion. I don't like trials of any kind, to be honest with you. If I have to be honest with you, I'm not really a trial-loving fellow. The fiery trials that you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. If you feel courage, do you feel that? Do you feel like a fiery trial's in your life right now? Right this day, today, if as soon as I say fiery trial, you go, ding! I know what he's talking about. That's my fiery trial. Right? That's us. He's talking to the church. It says, your fiery trials that you're going through as something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad. Say, don't worry. It's one of our favorite words when we're worrying, isn't it? Yeah, don't do it. I'm already doing it. Stop it. I'm trying. Yeah. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it's revealed to all the world. All right, okay. Let's drop down to 1 Peter 4:14. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you'll be blessed. I don't take insults very well either, I noticed. I used to be really good at it. I was turning the other cheek with the best of them. Now I kind of walk around at times with a toot. Anybody? Go ahead, slap my cheek. Go ahead, I'll stick it out there for you, bro. Harold, thank you. I love you. If you are insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. You know God's supposed to rest upon us. We have water baptism next week. But if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I recommend that too, because that'll change you in another whole way. And I'm not talking, am I going to be flaky? I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not God. Do you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? What kind of gifts am I getting? I have no idea. He doesn't consult with me on those things. He just does God stuff. He just does God stuff. That's what God does, God stuff. 1 Peter 4:15 through 17. Have you enjoyed the book of Peter? First book of Peter? 1 Peter 4:15 through 17. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Makes a little sense. If you suffer, however, it must not be for stealing. Okay? If you suffer, however, it must not be for making trouble. There's a little toe at times. Or prying into other people's affairs. This is just like a cross-section. You know, Peter's laying out categories of sin. He's not listing the entirety. He's throwing out categories. But the crazy thing in these categories, he puts murder and prying gossip in the same sentence. And this is to the church. A letter from the church to the
church.
And he says, hey, if you're going to get in trouble, don't be because you murdered someone in the parking lot. Don't be because you stole something. Well, it's mine anyways, and I should have had it back. I took it. Don't be, everyone's mad at me. Why? Because I'm making trouble. Well, don't you. Yeah. And I'm just Facebook snooping. I'm just trying to see whatever he's up to. Can you believe they said this? I better call Miley. Yeah. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by that name. It's a privilege to those who have been saved. I'm so grateful to be a Christian. I didn't deserve Jesus' sacrifice. I didn't deserve a revelation of it. I deserve nothing. That he would have the grace to give me that name. For the time has come for judgment. And it must begin with God's household. Say, I'm the church. So who's it got to start with? Right there. It's got to start right there. It must begin with God's household. It must begin. You've been holding up the work he's trying to overhaul you with? It's time to let it begin. But don't judge me. I'm not. Just God is. But I read this. If you read it and it's in there, he said, stop doing it. I'd recommend you stop that. It says to start doing this, and I recommend you start doing that. Right. It must begin with God's household. And if judgment begins with us, those who cared and tried to commit to serve him with our whole hearts and are imperfect, and those of us that have put our lives in line as best we know how, we've made mistakes, but all of us that are striving for it, if it begins with us, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's word? What terrible fate. When you hear that part, is there a tune coming out of you? Like, well, sucks to be them. They had a chance. I told that guy 4 times. Too bad for him. He's a punk. I submitted to God, so he had the same chance. Why is he even on the streets anyways? See, we shouldn't have that kind of attitude when that sentence is read. We should have the attitude that we can stand and do what we can to help them get out of the eternal judgment situation. Like, that's our job. And rarely do we use words. Yeah. The world's watching you. I guarantee if there's not someone watching you, please get into a place where someone's looking at you. So you can show a little reflection of what Jesus looks like. Right? That's our commitment. And also, if the righteous are barely saved, what will happen to the godless sinners? Say, it's not easy. It ain't easy. Sometimes hupotasso to the Lord and his ways and his righteousness is not easy. I like the things I like. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. He gave me that temperament. It's his fault. You know. The righteous are barely saved. What happens to sinners? What happens then? The letter to the church. From the church, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4:18 through 19. So, say for Pete's sake. So if you are suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep on doing what is right. If you're suffering and you know it's God, then do it right. If he's asked you to sacrifice something, don't put sackcloth and ashes on and be, oh God, I'm doing this for Jesus. No, keep on doing what's right. Why? Because it's what's right. But I'm not getting recognition. Doesn't matter. Do what's right. It's getting so hard and I'm getting people slandering me. Is it right? Yeah, then keep doing it. But this party and this party, this political, I don't. Doesn't matter what the left says, what the right says, what the middle says, what the top says, the bottom says. Is it right? Keep doing it. Right, keep doing it. And trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. So here's what I'm hoping for today. I'd like to ask Pastor Jody to come up and play that little song she's been working on. Can you do it? It's like impromptu, the one I said last night I liked. She's like, oh, you're going to do this to me? I am. It's the new one that I don't know. whatever your plan, just do it. But here's a couple questions if you need prayer. And sometimes, I'm not doing this to be dramatic, but sometimes you have to make a stand for something if you want to see something break. Sometimes you got to get on your knees to get raised up. Sometimes you have to make a public declaration of I'm not living like that anymore, or I need prayer for that because I'm getting victory for that, right? So here's the categories. Don't be stressful. I'm not going to call you out, but do you need prayer for God's perspective in your life? I had a bunch of people say, I'm in fiery trials. Do you have God's perspective on it? We walk around without God's perspective all the time, and it's very difficult. So maybe you're in the middle of a trial right now, and you go, honestly, Pastor, it doesn't make any sense to me. And it's breaking my heart. And I don't know why it's happening, and I can't get out of it. That's who I'm talking to. I'm going to welcome you up front. I'll pray for you. If you need perspective from God at where you're at right now in your life, I want to pray for you. Do you need prayer that He give you an attitude adjustment to His? Has your attitude been bad? Mark and I are getting double prayer today. Has it really kind of been bad? Fussy? Agitated? Complaining? What's impressive, these are some of the greatest guys I know. So, how about this? You need prayer to commit your life to Him again? Lordship, His ways and His purpose for you over your own? If that's you, come here. I don't care if you're in the booth. If like, I got to stop living for me, I know I got a call from God and I need to start living that call out. Why? Because He said, the end is near. I love my church. I love New Season Christian Fellowship so much. God, you did an amazing thing with people here. So Lord, as you stretch your hands, if you got all those questions answered in your life, stretch your hands to the rest of us up here that need that. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for perspective breakthroughs for each and every hand that's raised. Lord, whatever trial they're in, whatever thing they don't understand, whatever confusion, whatever trap they feel in the enemy, Lord God, you would lift the clouds and at least show them, expose to them what you're doing. Expose to them the why of your tests, Father, of your trials. Thank you, Pastor Sharon. Do you need prayer for an attitude adjustment? So, Father, tonight in this sanctuary, we're asking to give us the same attitude that He had. Lord, that we wouldn't be such babies about suffering because we got brothers and sisters out there dying for you. And we're mad at slander. So, Father, please adjust our attitudes. In any way that you need to, adjust our attitudes this morning, Father. Maybe that lordship has been kind of stolen because you've been worried so much and all you can think about is the thing you're worrying about. Or maybe there's something you want so bad, you just want it to change so bad, you want it, your life so bad, and you can't not daydream or think about it. You're just consumed with it. And it's kind of taken a Lord position in your life and you haven't recognized it. Father, I break that right now in the name of Jesus. You would bring us understanding. Father, we take our idols and we lay them at the altar. Lord, smash them. Smash those things that take your place. Smash those things that we honor above you. Smash those idols in our lives, Father, because we are your bride. We want to carry your name beautifully through the world. So I'm asking that everything surrendered you beautify. You beautify every one of your believers, Father, today that took the courageous step. They've asked for change. They made a commitment before you and before their brothers and sisters. They made a cry out to heaven. You said you listen and you wait for those kind of cries and you come to answer them. So, Lord, we pray that you answer our prayers this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.